This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome, Terry Fair, to the festivities at National RX. What's up, T-Fair?
Good afternoon, fellas. Trying to beat that cold, man. Glad to be inside.
It's hard to do. Hard to do these days.
Yeah, and I hear you're going to be at the Titans game tomorrow, so yeah. Enjoy that. I mean, are you going full-blown face paint everything or –
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be the guy with no shirt. That's what he ought to do.
Second team Terry. Of Titans.
I like that. That's what he should do. Make sure you guys just spell it right, though, right?
Yeah. You don't want to
be the T-I-T-S.
Don't put the S in the wrong place is all I'm saying. All right. There might be some of those, too. Anyway, let's get back to the top four at four. Jake Miller is standing by with that. What's up, Jake?
Thank you, Russell, and thank you for that wonderful image. Number one, the Tennessee Titans will square off in the divisional round against the Cincinnati Bengals tomorrow at 4:30 on CBS. The Titans enter as a 3.5-point favorite, and Derrick Henry is expected to start.
Terry, you and I were talking right before we came on. Janoris Jenkins, Titans starting cornerback, banged up today. They don't know if he's going to be able to go. That is not what you want to be hearing as a Titans fan when you've got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and those guys coming to town tomorrow.
Hey, the LSU connection. I'm going to tell you, you need everything. Of course, you've got to be able to stop that connection of Burrow and Chase. They've been having a fantastic season. But listen, I think Tennessee Titans, I'm going to go ahead and to all Titan fans out there, to yourself, Russ, I'm going to bow down and say I'm sorry. Listen, since Henry has gotten hurt, all that his team did was win football games and keep it together and find ways to get that done. Big credit to Mike Vrabel, who he is as a coach, the respect that he's garnered in that locker room. And he's always had that since he's been a player and everything. So he's able to keep it together. That team really, plays in the image of Vrabel. You know, he's tough. Man, he cares. That team, they care about each other. You can see that the way they play. So I think they're going to be fine, man. They go to work each and every day, and that's a credit to Mike Vrabel and how he coaches that team. But listen, this young Cincinnati team, they don't know any better. You know, they're having a lot of fun. They're getting it done out there. Not only do they have the passing game, you got to worry about Joe Mixon in the run game as well, screen passes, getting the ball out on the perimeter. So this is going to be a heck of a game. This is the only football game that these teams hadn't faced each other this year. So should be a great game. The thing that Tennessee has, they have in their favor. They're getting that big guy back in the backfield, and they have this game at home, so they have that energy behind them as well.
We could get back to this, but just real quickly here. Derrick Henry coming back from a foot injury as a running back, 12 weeks off. Like, what's can he just pick up where he left off? Or is...
You know, it depends, man. That guy's a freak of nature. You know, like earlier this week, I know he had some contact drills where he had some guys come over after practice. He's going through contact just so when he gets in the game, that's not his first time being hit. He'll be ready to go. You know, he's a professional. He'll prepare himself the right way. A lot of it is mental. So there's no doubt in my mind, is he going to go for 20 carries? I'm sure the coaching staff will kind of get a feel for how he's playing, how he's doing. But they've got some guys who Phil did for him, who they trust as well, where hopefully he doesn't have to come back and shoulder that load.
I mean, he's been a lifesaver.
Yeah. I mean, these guys have come in and put in work. And, you know, I'm really impressed. And I said this last time, and what I wasn't impressed with, who I didn't think could get it done, was Tannehill, right? And what did he do after we talked, after that show? He went out and put up big numbers. Showed me something that maybe he is ready to lead this team to a Super Bowl.
Mm. Jake?
Number two, the Tennessee basketball squad will play host to LSU tomorrow at 6 o'clock at Thompson Bowling Arena. There is no point spread available as of now, but the Vols are projected a 64.1% chance to win according to the BPI.
Vols are 64-point whatever percent chance to win?
Yes.
All right.
I like it. I mean, you know, Barnes 2-6, you know, versus LSU.
Is that what? Okay.
2-6. I mean, Vols are 9-0 at home. Last time you played SU, you got their best crowd, their best night in that stadium. So, listen, it could be different. Second chance points, guys come out with more energy, playing defense. We'll get into it more, but, you know, they're going to be missing their point guard, Pinson, who was hurt against us, like he tore an ACL, but I guess he has a knee sprain, probably won't be playing tomorrow. So, you know, we'll see. I think, is this the game that they can put it together? Had a good, you know, they've been steadily getting better offensively, but still need to find a guy to come in that can be that scorer, that can be another 20-plus a night. I'm not saying each and every night, but a different person each and every game.
For sure.
And number three, former Tennessee defensive line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh, who was fired by Jeremy Pruitt in 2020, will be hired to the same position at Auburn. He played there in the late 90s, was All-ACC defensive lineman. He only coached four games at Tennessee after he was hired in February 2020 and then terminated by Pruitt following the Kentucky game.
Jimmy Brumbaugh, and I don't care.
Yeah, it's the least surprising thing ever, guys.
You think he listed Jeremy Pruitt as a reference on his resume?
Absolutely not.
Jeremy Pruitt don't want to see Jimmy Brumbaugh live and in person anymore.
And he took the high road, man. Congratulations to him, man. They're shaking.
Yeah.
They're shaking that Auburn staff up.
He's a good coach.
And finally, at number four, following Memphis' third straight loss, a 70-62 home defeat to SMU, Coach Penny Hardaway sounded off during his post-game press conference telling the assembled media to stop asking me stupid, bleeping questions. Things are not looking good for Penny Hardaway in Memphis.
Tell them how you feel, Penny. That's what I'm talking about. Tell them how you feel. Let them know. Let these media people know how you feel. Look, he would have said,
Terry.
You could have asked Penny, Penny, are those Nikes you're wearing? Hey, stop asking me that effing question. He was ready to go. He was frustrated. You know what I mean? He's totally frustrated at what's going on. It sounds like he's been hearing a lot of those things. So he'll come out and apologize next time he says something, handle it the wrong way, but – you know, he's got to start producing some wins at some point. He's got the recruiting down. He's got to get it together on the court and get those guys to play for him.
Now, Terry, man, you coached at that level.
Yeah.
Major Power 5 college
Stop football. Asking me that.
Oh.
I was about to. Okay, go ahead.
You cannot go out there and just drop F-bombs like that.
Wait a minute, Bear. Hold on.
That's terrible, though.
But you're concerned about dropping F-bombs?
Kids, Terry, he's supposed to be.
I mean, they see more than that on TV and on social media.
No, it has nothing to do with the kids, That's a representative for your university. That's your CEO.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean you can't get frustrated and say something that and come back and apologize for it. I see it each and every day.
I agree with you there.
So, I mean, I'm not going to – I mean, everybody curses. Well, not everybody.
You know who does
it? Most people.
Our guy Rick Barnes never had a – bumper come out of his mouth.
But yeah, he's frustrated out there.
He's just got to pick it up, man. I mean, that was funny, though. He was gonna go off no matter what was asked.
Thank you, Jake Miller. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you this afternoon by Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. Folks, it's your last chance to get signed up for that free complimentary gourmet meal that Les is giving away next week. He's holding two seminars at Rothschild Catering in West Knoxville. If you want to learn more about retirement strategy, 401ks, IRAs, CDs, other investable assets, you don't want to miss this presentation. It is free to attend, and best part is it comes with a free gourmet meal at Rothschild's as soon as it's over. Now, he's doing one Tuesday at 6:30 and Thursday at 6:30 next week. You must RSVP. Go to rightapproachfinancial.com to get more information and find Les's number. Call him up. Say, Les, I want to have dinner with you. Russell sent me. He's going to set you up, man. You go down there and pick his mind a little bit on retirement strategies, and he's going to feed you. Next week, get signed up, folks. rightapproachfinancial.com. Terry, it has been an interesting week. here in Big Orange Country. I love this time of year when you got football and basketball colliding, man. It's a great time for talk radio.
Beautiful, beautiful.
What did you, real quickly, we are already got some phone calls piling up for you. This Nayor kid.
Oof. Really?
We thought we had him.
He's in. That's kind of the world we live in right now.
We hardly knew him.
That's kind of the world we live in. I mean, it would have been a huge get for us, you know, but, man, with how college football is shaping out to be right now, well, like you say, it truly is like free agency, right? To your name is signed on that line, man, you're free game, and anything is available right now with, you know, the cash that's available out there for players, how teams are going after you. And they're going to continue to pursue you. We're living in a different world right now, man. We were talking off air, over 1,000 guys in a transfer portal right now. Man, those days of having a backup or building something are gone. They're over with. But more importantly, you know, it really hurts the little guy. You know, these guys that are being recruited, and because of so many guys are transferring, college teams are going out and adding these players at these D1 programs already. So now they don't have a scholarship for that high school kid that you're recruiting now. So, you know, you look at it from that standpoint, I really don't like it. You know, some rules have to be put in place about this transfer portal. With over 1,000 kids in college football right now, and sports in general is a lot out there. But listen, you win some, you lose some. The kid didn't sign here. He didn't sign his name, so he was still free game. Hadn't visited, only visited a couple schools. So, yeah, I mean, he probably is getting advice to, man, take that deal, go to the bigger and better deal.
You know what's interesting is, from Tennessee fans' perspective, on how, I think half of the fans are looking at this NIL stuff and going, man, this is not good for the sport. This is just not college athletics. I'm tired of hearing about this stuff. I just want to think about recruiting my team winning. I don't want to think about the financial aspect of it. But then the other half of it is, man, we got to step up our NIL stuff. We're not doing it as good as everybody else.
Well, listen, isn't it that like recruiting, right? Because think about paying players. I mean, isn't that player looking to get paid the most from the university that he goes to?
Well, it's totally changed when you were doing it, Terry, it's, hey, come here. We've got the best facilities, the best coaches, and we play on TV. All of a sudden, kids don't care about that anymore. It's about how much money can you give me now?
Right. Listen, everybody plays on TV. Everybody gets, you know, to be seen. You know,
everybody's got a huge locker room and all the cleats and gear you could.
Where can you go to be taken care of? And I'm sure, listen, I'm okay with the NIL deals. I hate the transfer portal. I'm okay with the NIL. Okay, if you can make money off your name and likeness, then by all means, go out and do it. Efforts has to be made, and they have to be stepped up across the country in Tennessee as well, that we get some of these guys some deals. But listen, you can have the best deal. You can have some rival deals. Again, it's going to be where that kid wants to go in the end.
I saw a comment from the Cincinnati quarterback, Ritter, and they were asking him, like, Bryce Young has, you know, over $2 million in NIL deals. What would that do to the locker room? And he basically said, players don't care about that. They're going to appreciate that kid and love to see hard work rewarded. And I read that comment. I'm like, okay, fair enough. He's probably right.
Yeah.
But what happens in the future when you've got, that's fine for Bryce Young. What happens in the future when you're offering a big NIL deal to everybody in your signing class, and there are guys who get in there and they're making more than the upperclassmen who came before them, and they're the guys who can't play or aren't pulling their weight?
Well,
what does that do to the locker room?
But then I don't think it does anything to the locker room, because I think some guys may be paid more or can get more once they arrive on campus based off of how they play, right? They're going to play their way into more money and into more deals. You may have gotten what you've gotten to come there, but now once you get there, your performance is gonna garner you more money as well. So listen, as long as everybody go out there and you bust your tail and you're putting in the same amount of hours in the weight room and, you know, off the field in your sessions, your learning sessions, your film study and all of those different things, you still want to win football games, and you're still going to work the same. You're still going to put in, you know, and do what you do every day. Now, guess what? It should increase everybody's performance if you want to get paid more. right? Pay to play. If I'm playing well, then I suspect to get paid more.
Well, I think here's what I'm hoping happens at Tennessee is you're taking it on the chin right now. Everybody is promising all this stuff. And Lane Kiffin talked about this a couple of weeks ago, signing day. Remember, he said, I hope all these kids get what they're promised. And it's obvious like he couldn't or didn't feel comfortable, whatever, couldn't promise whatever Texas A&M and these other schools are promising. And it seems like Tennessee is a little bit behind or maybe reluctant to make these big promises right now. I hope what happens is Hendon Hooker gets treated right, gets the money, Cedric Tillman, whoever else is deserving on this team. And a year from now, we're sitting here talking about a different story, because then Tennessee and Josh Heupel can go on the recruiting trail and pitch these success stories. Look at what Tennessee players are getting when they come here and perform.
Well, I think they can do that now. You know, I mean, it's just that some other programs are in certain positions that may be more favorable than where we are right now. Doesn't mean that we won't get there. Doesn't mean that we're not going to offer our guys here and guys that are coming in things. I mean, I think we'll do that. You have to now to compete. And
We saw a picture of Ty Washington sitting in a brand new Porsche before he had ever played a game for Kentucky. How do you compete with that?
Well, he would have been sitting in that even if it was no NIL deals, right?
True.
I'm just saying.
We're seeing the picture now.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the picture now, but all it has done is legalize the money being paid to players in recruiting. That's it. So players that were, you know, these programs that were big in recruiting that were paying for all of these players, hey, the same players that they're picking up off the NIL, that's giving these NIL deals, it would have been the same thing under the table.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, this isn't the first Kentucky basketball player that hit campus in a Porsche.
It's true.
I mean, really? I mean,
hey, back in the 80s, Eric Dickerson had a Trans Am, a gold Trans Am.
Man, yeah.
He had that in 2022, and it would have been legal, and they wouldn't have gotten the death penalty.
It was a gold Trans Am, and his grandmother supposedly paid for it, and that's the story that he's sticking with.
Well, again, and we don't have to go down this road for the umpteenth time, but Tennessee, all this NCAA stuff they're dealing with, oh, how many scholarships are we going to self-impose, is all for stuff that probably is going to be legal, and it might be legal now. We don't even know.
Well, and it's very early, and I think there's no need to panic right now. Vol fans, don't panic. I think there's a spring that there's going to be players that's going to be available that we're going to go after. So we have a lot of time to get players in here. I mean, you saw it with Hooker. You saw it with our backup quarterback. We're, you know, Milton and those guys. So, listen, we've got plenty of time. There's no need to panic now. We'll get there. We'll get it, I'm sure. All universities are hiring guys to monitor NIL activity, make sure everything is being done right and all of that. So just be patient, man. We'll get there. You know what I mean?
Long known for their patience.
Yes. Very, very, very patient fan base. But listen, I just think that, you know, we've got a good core of guys coming back, and hopefully we, you know, can keep our core guys at Tennessee and those guys don't leave to the portal and we keep them from going out of there. Right. And the other thing is, if guys are leaving the portal during the season, right after the season, man, you've probably been talking to people already and know where you're going. And that's the other crazy thing about it. And when does it become tampering?
Yeah. And that's, we may have to get it. I don't know if we're up against it for a break or not, but I was interested to see what your thought, the transfer portal, which is really what's, I think, causing, along with immediate eligibility, is a bigger problem than the NIL.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Hey, stay with us. We'll come right back. Westchester, we're going to get you in here if you want to jump on with Terry. 865-546-8200 is your number, 546-8200. Back with more of The Drive live this afternoon at National RX in Farragut. Stay with us.
The Drive. Terry Fair is there.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from National RX in Farragut. Let's get Westchester in here this afternoon. What's up, Westchester?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Doing well. What's up?
T-Fair, I'm going to bring up a little bad subject for you. And if anyone down there wants to give you a little hard time about it, I'll be glad to take care of your light work for you. I think we both know who we're talking about. We got to talk a little bit about the 99 playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, you know, I was the Titans guy at the time, no offense. And, you know, we got beat on that last play of the Super Bowl, and it was a tough loss. And I'm convinced, though, that they're going to make it back this year. And I want to know who you think from the NFC is going to play the Titans in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, sorry.
You know what?
I thought we were about to start talking about Stoney Case again for a second.
Oh, no, 90, yeah, not at all. But listen, I'm with you, man. I think the Titans have a really good shot to make it, right? But if I'm looking at that NFC, 49ers, Packers, you look at the first game that they played, it was earlier in the season, right? I think it was second game, and they won that game 30-28. They won on the last second field goal.
They left Rodgers 30 seconds. It was 30 right. seconds too many.
That's it. And they won on the last second field goal. So that is going to be a great game there. You know, how San Francisco defense handles, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But I think for San Francisco to win, Jimmy Garoppolo has to outplay Aaron Rodgers to win that game. So to me, that's what I'm going to be looking at more is Garoppolo. Is he going to make some mistakes like he made against Dallas that cost him that game last week? But I think the Green Bay Packers are going to play the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. And to be honest with you, if the Rams can bring that pass rush like they brought last week, I like the Rams to get to the Super Bowl.
That little heartstrings there, or you really believe that?
I wasn't with the Rams, and I was with the Lions.
Oh, I know. We played for them. You played for them later. I get that, but
yeah. But I mean, no. I mean, listen. I'm telling you right now. I thought the Rams had one of the most dominant performances that I saw last week. Listen, when their defensive line is playing the way they were playing, man, they're hard to beat, and they've got the athletes in the secondary to get it done as well. Right? We know what they can do offensively, and getting Cam Akers back even adds to that. So, listen, I like the Rams to make life miserable for Brady this week, and I think they can do the same with Aaron Rodgers if they can stay healthy.
Oh, I'd like anyone to make life miserable for Brady. Let's be honest about that. But, no, I thought I'm not a Cowboys fan by any means. Any reason, any excuse, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I was impressed at what San Fran did against them. I thought the Cowboys could win that game, and I guess I felt pretty stupid after that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think San Francisco's got a pretty good chance there. Have you heard anything about this linebacker transferring out of Florida who originally was in our we were one of his top five? You think we got any chance at him? You know what I'm talking about?
You have a name, Westchester?
No. I expect you guys to, you know, do all your homework and know. I expect you to know it.
Yeah, right. It's not that deep.
We'll get Martin on it.
Where's Martin?
Mark? Yeah, it's Rachel.
That's my man I was on the phone with last time, the recruiting guru.
Oh, man. Love Martin.
Yeah, he's yeah.
I don't know about a linebacker transfer from Florida. I know they had one leave, but he didn't come here. I think he went to Arkansas or Mississippi State or something like that. But
I didn't think he committed yet. I hope this is recent, but I could be wrong.
That would be a position of need. Linebacker,
huge
safety, middle of that defense needs some help.
And that's where I think you got to go to the portal. You know what I mean? It's enough guys in there. I mean, out of 1,000 people, you got to have 10 good linebackers, right? So I think shoring up the middle of our defense, we've got to get a guy that's played before, you know, and's got some experience at it. So hopefully I'm not the biggest in recruiting Westchester in terms of following these young guys around. So I'm not the best to ask on that, but I can tell you it's certainly a position of need.
No, but I agree with you, though. I think I agree with you. I think I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the portal is better than a picking up a JUCO necessarily, right? Because you might have a chance to get a player with a little bit better experience, maybe.
I agree with that. I mean, yes.
Yeah, the portal has definitely changed college football. We'll see what happens, and yeah, we need some help in the middle of the defense. So, guys. Thanks. Have a good weekend. Go Titans.
I'm still interested to see if they're going to try and shore up or bring in any help at like safety on the back end of the defense. I was hoping they would.
Yeah, well, you got some guys that's coming back that you know, are veterans back there. You know, can they get better with another year under their belt? You know, but getting more athletic, I think, has got to be a big one of the keys, you know, moving into the offseason and next year. But we'll see, though. You're talking about transfer portal helping football. It's helped basketball. Look at Auburn and Bruce Pearl, right?
Oh, and Kentucky.
That's the way to go. Kentucky's built it off there. I mean, Tennessee's got, I guess, Powell right now is their one transfer, but I'd imagine they're going to start dipping in there a lot more now because it seems like they're striking out on all these big.
Man, I think you have to if you look at what we're going to return next season and who can be that guy. I mean, everybody keeps talking about Chandler going pro. I don't see it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that he's not a good enough player, but how many guys are going to leave after the first year and go get lost in the NBA rather than coming back for a year or two and really, you know, putting more to your game and adding more to your game to just make you more NBA ready when you get there, to have to take so many channels to make a roster.
So we had a caller earlier this week criticizing Rick Barnes, the program, saying like these guys aren't making the NBA, they're not doing well. And I looked at it and said, well, out of the 5-star players that he signed, Josiah Jordan and James, the first one, he's still here. The two last year, both in the NBA, the caller said, well, you know, they're in the G League. And I'll look it up. Well, they first round picks, right? Guaranteed contract. Both those guys, Keon and Jaden Springer, signed 4-year deals for like roughly $10 to $12 million. So how do you figure that? Like in my mind, you signed the deal, like whether you're in the G League or you might bounce back and forth and ultimately, yeah, you want to stick, but you signed that contract to get the life-changing money that presumably you go to the NBA for, right? I mean,
you can't fault that. You know what I mean? You can't fault a guy for doing that. And me, selfishly speaking, being on the radio and watching, right? Because if I'm him and I had that opportunity to be a first rounder, right? Then that's a different story. But for me, the radio guy watching each and every week saying, man, he would benefit if he did this, because you see some guys that, you know, you may go get that, but you say, man, it's been 4 years and you hadn't seen this kid on TV yet who was a heck of a player at your place. You know what I mean? Would another year have benefited him, and would he have still got the same money, or would he have gotten more money? You know what I mean? So it's one of those things, man. I don't fault guys for chasing that, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people will, and I probably would too. But me speaking about it, I mean, listen.
First-round draft pick. And
he's put some guys in the NBA. Now, what you do when you get there is up to you.
Well, I mean, you got one guy that's the vice president of the Players Association and Grant Williams still in Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just talking about the quote-unquote 5-star guys who you know, want to be one and done. We're not talking about the guys that he's developed and have gotten there.
And listen, we get used to so much one and done now, you know, that it's okay to come back for a second year, you know, but like I said, man, it's instant gratification where you want to go get it right now. So,
yeah, I don't think he's anywhere. I mean, when's the last time a one and done point guard got drafted and immediately made the, you know, didn't get bounced to the G League? I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
Probably John Wall.
You know, the two kids that off last year's team, you know, Jaden and Keon, I mean, they're first round guaranteed contract draft picks and one of the most exclusive sports leagues on the planet. I mean,
it'd be nice to have them this year, though. Can you imagine Tennessee?
Hell yeah.
It'd be rough, man. Ooh. I mean, whew. And I guess it makes you change how you recruit your whole philosophy as a coach, because you got to see a kid and say, okay, he's one and done, so I only can plan on having him for 1 year, so this is what we got to focus on going out to recruit. So it changes kind of your dynamic and how you approach it.
You know what's different about basketball now, though, is these kids have played at 3 or 4 different schools by the time they get to college. So, like, one and done is no big. we look at it as like, oh, I went to college for 4 years and I went to high school for 4 years. These guys changed schools. You look, Jaden Springer played, I don't even remember where he's from, but he went to IMG and then he came here. I think Keon actually played his 4 years at the Webb School in Bellbuckle. But Kennedy Chandler played at Briarcrest and then went to Sunrise Academy in Missouri. So this is his third school. Like, he's not looking at it like, oh, I got to set down roots. This is just the life of a basketball player in 2022. You're in a new place every year.
Yeah, you're in a new place, and each place you go, you're setting yourself up for where you ultimately want to be, and that's the NBA. And, you know, for some guys, that's their whole mindset is I'm going to be one and done, and you can't tell me otherwise. So.
All right, Terry, let's put together an order. Huge sports weekend coming up, man. We got the playoffs. We got Tennessee basketball. You've got the NBA. There's a golf tournament going on right now. Big recruiting weekend. Yeah, they're out in Hawaii, I think.
Okay.
Season just started. When did you like to be out in Hawaii?
I would love to be out in Hawaii, but I think I'd still be watching, like, the Vols tomorrow. Okay. I'll be watching all of the games. But
I forgot. You're not a big golf on TV guy.
No. I mean, it depends. It depends on the tournament.
Well, no matter what you're watching, you're going to need some good food. And Terry's appearance is brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Craven Wings, where kids eat free Monday through Thursday. And don't forget the Wednesday Wing Dean featuring 79-cent wings, two locations off Market, Chodo and Macon Crossing in South Knoxville. Go online to cravenwings.com to look at the whole menu. All right, Terry, what are we getting? How are we setting this up tomorrow when you got the playoffs and the Vols playing?
Okay, here it is. This is just me. That first game, what was that first game? Tennessee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee at 4:30. I'm watching the Titans. Tennessee is coming backseat to the NFL for me in the playoffs. Now, between commercials, I can do it. Or you know what I'll do? We go to T. Ferris' place, and I got a couple TVs down there where I have them on the small TV.
Mm-hmm.
But the big show is going to be the NFL. Vols off to the side. They'll get the attention during commercials, timeouts, and stuff like that.
And we got some wings from Craven Wings. We're going to set this up, and you know, maybe we'll set up an order of what do you think? 20 of the you guys like the lemon pepper, right?
I like the sauce 87, the spicy lemon pepper. I got to go 20 of those, and then I'm gonna go do 20 garlic parm.
Garlic parm,
yeah, with blue cheese.
It's always
got to be a blue cheese guy.
Can you go up to the Holy Moses or the Grim Reaper?
I mean, yeah, I've had the Holy Moses.
Okay.
I'm not scared.
That brings the noise?
Yeah.
So all right.
That's the hottest one, the Grim Reaper?
It'll have your nose running like you're outside right now.
You can eat that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be laying on the floor crying.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between me and you.
Walked right into it.
That's the difference between me and you.
A boat oar across a face on a Friday afternoon.
It wouldn't be right if I didn't take a shot, Bear.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I love it.
Hey, Terry, you got to step it up one more, though. You got to go with the spicy cheese curds dip in the Holy Moses.
Ooh. Man, it's spicy. Jake Miller just took it to 11.
Jake, I'm not going down yet, but I'm going to try it. I will try it with you.
Get yourself some onion rings, some French fries, maybe some banana pudding. Make it a big order. Craven Wings, tell them T-Fair and Fan Run Radio sent you. Two locations out west, North Shore on Chodo, and then in South Knoxville on Seymour. Visit cravenwings.com to find out more.
Yep, go check them out, man. Tell them I sent you. You may see us in there. So if you see us in there, say what's up. We'll buy you a brew.
Check this out, Terry. Big article today in The Athletic by Joe Rexrode. He did an interview with Danny White, who was hired a year ago today. 1 year on the job for Tennessee's new athletics director. University of Tennessee is the only school in the country that can claim a football bowl game, NCAA tournament bids, both men's and women's, and a College World Series appearance in baseball in the calendar year of 2021.
Pretty good.
How's that for putting a good shine on things?
Hey, make
everything's going right.
Makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
But what? What's the but?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's
it's not all doom and gloom as people make it seem.
Things could be better in football.
We're getting there.
Things could be better in basketball.
Still got but a things Hall of Fame also, coach.
Things could also be much worse in basketball. That's what I try and tell these folks who want to jump on Rick Barnes.
Did Bear just say we got to get another coach?
No, I said basketball. said basketball, said we got a Hall of Fame coach there. And I'll argue in baseball, we got the hottest young baseball coach in the nation right now.
I can agree with both those, man. Listen, like you said, it could be a lot worse in with our basketball program. I think this team is still figuring it out. You know what I mean? I think as you go, you're starting to see a little more. You know what I mean? It's still early. They still got a lot to learn in terms of how Rick Barnes wants them to play. He's trying to pull certain things out of certain players right now. So in the end, you know, he has it to where he wants it. And I can see that he's trying to develop the shooter and a scorer either in Powell or Bailey, right? he's given Powell probably a bigger leash than Bailey right now. I'm waiting for Bailey to explode and play with some confidence. Just like that game the other night, he came in and he had a three-pointer at the top of the key that he could have took, but he took two dribbles and took the, you know.
He shot it because he felt like he had to shoot it. No confidence.
And you can tell, you know, that's not the – he's a shell of what we've seen of him. So, James, you know, when are we going to see the five-star and him come out and him start to take over more and attack the rim more than what he's doing, you know, rather than just settling for three-point shots? You know, Chandler taking care of the basketball. You starting to see him attack more and do some things. Man, Uros, listen, I'm.
You like Uros?
I like him, man. He does the dirty work. He rebounds. You know what I mean? He's gritty. You know what I mean? He's the protector. He's all of those different things that you want in your big man. You know, he's a backup. But until Fulkerson can get it together, you know, I think it's great that he's starting, and maybe Fulkerson can continue to, you know, continue to do some things, come around. He played a lot harder, you know, the other night. His offense just still isn't there yet.
Him coming off the bench, I hope, takes some of the pressure. He looks like a guy that has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's the face of the program and all this, and he's going through COVID. Everybody comes at him, man. He's only 220 pounds, and he gets ragdolled a lot out there. I hope that coming off the bench just lets him relax. You know what? I don't have to carry this team. I can come in and just kind of play my game. And at this point, anything you get out of him is a bonus, because there have been several games where you've literally got nothing out of him.
And I think, you know, points around the rim, rebounds are crucial. You know, especially when you look at this game tomorrow, you go back to that first game against LSU, right? And, man, think about the second chance points that LSU got in that game. They just out-energied us, out-hustled us. Can that turn in our favor with our home crowd tomorrow? You know, we need to rebound. We need to do that dirty work that they put in on us the game before. So, like I said, man, we just got to continue the development of this basketball team. And I think in the end, we'll be all right. I don't think it's time to panic, because, you know, you could be a lot worse and your defense is keeping you in games right now. You're still a really good defensive basketball team. So, and you just got to keep building off that. And we got to find that. Consistent 2 and 3 score.
Couple of notes here as we go to break. First of all, the Titans officially activating Derrick Henry about half an hour ago.
Okay.
So the King is back. And Brian on Twitter says the linebacker Westchester is talking about from Florida took his name out of the portal an hour after entering it. He does say, and I do remember reading about this today, there's a linebacker from Louisiana, Lorenzo McCaskill, that Tennessee is trying to get in on.
Wow, okay.
The Raging Cajuns.
Which, okay.
I mean, sometimes guys see good players at that level who, I mean, we're trying to get the Verse kid from Albany, which is a smaller school than Louisiana, so.
Yeah, well, it's just like, remember, it was like Nair, you know, coming from Wyoming. You know, sometimes guys go to these smaller schools, they go there, they develop themselves, and they become really good players, and, you know, I think you'll see a lot of that.
Quick timeout. The Drive continues live this afternoon at National Law Rex in Farragut. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, live from National Law Rex in Farragut. Russell Smith, Terry Fair with you. Bear and Jake Miller along for the ride as well. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in this afternoon. And looking forward to it tomorrow, Terry. You think am I going to catch hypothermia out there? I've already got my I've got the long johns ready. I've got the thickest pair of socks. I've got my outfit pretty much planned out here. It's like it's going to be in the mid 30s during the day, but once that sun goes down, it's supposed to drop below freezing.
Well, I think you may be too warm, if you ask me.
There's no such thing.
It's no such thing of overdoing it. You'll be sweating by the time you leave the game because you're going to be cheering. You're going to be into the game, right?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it's not like when you guys play Florida 96 where we show up all ready to go and it's like,
you had to. I appreciate that. Appreciate you bringing it up. Hey, but listen, I hear you, man. You probably want to put two pairs of socks on. So it's supposed to be 16 degrees is at the low tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be like 2 a.m.
So that means it'd probably be about maybe 25 degrees. So, yeah, dress warm. And I heard Bear talking to you. Wear a scarf, too. Wear a Tennessee Titans scarf.
Oh, I do have a Titans scarf. I got a...
Wrap that around your neck. You never know. Those things come in handy, don't they, Terry?
They do.
Stand outside in 10-degree weather.
But it should be a great game, man. You're going to have a blast. You're not going to be thinking about the cold until after the game, until you're going to the car, right? So
I hope so, man.
Your adrenaline will drop.
To me, everybody talking about Derrick Henry and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all this, I think this is going to come down to Ryan Tannehill. You talked about it earlier. He's had bad games this year. He's had great games this year. In the playoffs last year against Baltimore, he was not good. He wasn't terrible, but he was average, and average doesn't work in the NFL playoffs. You got to have good quarterback play, and he can do it, but he's going to have to show it to me tomorrow.
But I think one of the best things that happened with Ryan Tannehill this season is not having a big guy in the backfield. You know, taking more onus. I mean, he's had guys out. He's had to find Akina and other guys to throw to. You know, this will be the first game, I think, since week two that the Titans have had Henry, the two receivers, and everybody together playing together. So it's great to have in the first playoff game. But I think Tannehill, not having him, I think, in those receivers in and out all year, gained a lot of confidence. So I think he's going to do great. I'm not going to bash him anymore. Maybe I need to for him to have a great game as I did last time. But I think he's earned my respect, and I think everybody's in that locker room.
Not to bring bad news, but Lorenzo McCaskill, the Louisiana linebacker we were just talking about, Tennessee is in on him, but apparently Texas. I guess they're our new nemesis. They're stealing all the players out of the portal.
And they're saying, we're the real UT.
I guess so, man. But
slinging that old money around.
That's right.
But, I mean, it gets back.
I mean, I get Naor, though. I mean.
Listen, we're not in a place like a Texas and these teams that, you know, we're digging out of this dark hole that we've been in. You know what I mean? I mean, and then you have the negativity. Believe me, in the coaching world, there's a lot of negativity to where, trust me, they are talking about your program and everything that's going on in the NC investigation that's looming, and you might be put on probation, and this may happen. Why would you want to go there? Look at this. Everything that they possibly can, they're going to do right now, so that doesn't help either.
Well, Texas hasn't exactly been ice cream and sunshine the past couple of years. They don't have NCAA.
Yeah, but they don't.
Right, exactly.
No, and they don't have the booster issues, some of the booster issues that we do, and they've got bottomless pockets and don't care to pay. You know, they aren't looking for return on their investment. That is a school where they'll have a booster that doesn't mind just, you know, signing a kid to a $250,000 NIL deal and with no expectation of making that money back.
No, and this goes back to the 30 for 30 that was done on SMU. Skip Bayless had a comment. You got alumni at some of those schools in Texas that are saying, if I don't have a championship, I'll buy one. And that's what they're trying to do right now.
But the Napier kid, I think it came down to he's from Arlington, Texas. He had been up at Wyoming. And I imagine that's a whole lot easier to get your family to be able to come see you play your home games when it's an hour's drive versus Wyoming or Knoxville.
It's huge,
hard to compete with that.
It's a good 3 hours from where he's from in Dallas-Fort Worth to Austin, I mean, but it's still a lot closer than Knoxville, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I mean, Terry, you came all the way across the country over here. I mean, it couldn't have been easy for your family to make it to every game.
Listen, I believe in my 4 years, my mother was able to make it to 2 games. And then she made it to both times we played at UCLA. So,
yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand. I think because the rumors are that had more to do with it than any of the NIL stuff with him. I mean, he's a Texas kid. If he hadn't been a two-star coming out of high school, if Texas had offered him, he'd be a Longhorn.
It'll be interesting to see if Heupel looks back to the portal after spring practice for another receiver like they got Peyton last year, or if he just rolls with what he got. Because we talked about this yesterday, Terry. Like, there's some options there, right? Jalen Hyatt, Jimmy Callaway is the one I want to see step up and run with one of those positions, because you saw that athleticism early in the season, and it looked like they just lost trust in him when he dropped that fourth down ball against Florida.
Yeah.
But you know the talent's there.
Yeah, we've got a good core of guys at receiver. You know, you've got Tillman coming back, and like I said, Hyatt is a guy that we've been looking to explode on the scene. So, you know, this has got to be the year, the make or break year for him coming out. You know, Callaway, you mentioned, man, you've got some guys there. Ramel Keaton, you know, who can be a guy that's consistent for us. So listen, those guys are going to develop into, you know, some very good players this offseason. So, you know, keep that development going on with the core guys that you have. But at any time you can get a guy to add to the mix that can help you out, you're definitely going to do. And this staff is as diligent as any staff in the country, that they'll do their work and put in their work, and they'll get what they need to get, all right, to have a successful season next year.
All right, Terry, wrapping up, give me an official T-Fair prediction. Vols LSU tomorrow. Tennessee needs this one. This has been a team, Terry, that's kind of – they've won the games they're supposed to win. They've lost the games they're supposed to lose. And I guess if you're looking at that BPI thing that Jake cited earlier, then maybe Tennessee's supposed to win. But it doesn't feel like it, right? I mean, it feels like LSU's had our number.
Well, especially after last game, you look at it. But, you know, let's go back to last meeting, 6 of 24 from three-point range. All right, you were 23 of 37 from the free throw line. Mm. All right, you got out rebounded 41 to 33, and you lost a second chance battle, right? Second chance points, you lost in that battle as well. All right, but it was a Saturday night in LSU, probably the largest crowd that they've had at LSU. All right, it's going to be a Saturday night in Knoxville, going to be a great environment. Right, the arenas should be packed, should be filled. I think switch that around, right, and we give you a performance like LSU had. We win the game tomorrow.
Let's make it loud, folks. Should be a great night to be in Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena.
And I got to give you my football picks.
Oh, we got playoff picks?
We got playoff. We got to go playoff picks. I can't leave the show without giving you my playoff
picks.
I'm
here for it. What do you got?
Bengals, Titans.
Uh-huh.
I'm going Titans.
Okay.
All right, I'm rolling with you on that. 49ers, Packers. I'm going Packers.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Home teams.
That's Saturday night. Sunday, I'm going Rams over Bucks.
What is that game? That game's in Tampa?
Yes.
Okay. Rams at Bucks. I'm going Rams
on the road.
I'm going Rams
this
on the road.
This is Matthew Stafford's time.
Yes.
Is this the end of Tom Brady? Is like
No, just the end of him this year. He'll be back. He'll
be
machine.
Back for like 10 more years.
Yeah, he's a machine, man. We'll be in wheelchairs. He'll still be playing. So, but
what about the other AFC game? This is the one that
Buffalo and Kansas City.
I have this being built as the battle of the young QBs.
Right? This might be the most entertaining game of the weekend.
Battle of the young QBs. Can the Chiefs secondary and defense, do they have enough to stop Josh Allen? Listen, I coached against this kid when he was at Wyoming, and he was a stud then. He could run. Man, he's tough as they come. And he's totally different. Like, he'll run you over as a quarterback. He's not like Mahomes. They're two totally different quarterbacks, but they're both good, and they can both throw the ball downfield. But I think it's the Bills' time.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they get past the Chiefs in this one.
Oh, man. I can go with most of that. I like the Chiefs. Hey, as a Titans fan, like if the Titans win, there's no doubt you want the Bills because the Titans have had the Bills number. Like they've beaten them several times.
I used to be a Houston fan back in the day, and the Titans, the Houston Oilers are they were the Titans, right?
Yeah. No, they were the Titans, they were the Oilers.
Yeah, and the Bills came back from 35 to beat them.
Ooh.
Remember that?
Frank Reich.
Oh, yeah.
Walking through that door.
Yeah, trust me, man.
Thurman Thomas ain't walking through that door.
I cried that day, right? I cried that day. But listen, the last time they played that game, Bills at Chiefs, earlier this year, Bills won that game 38-20.
What happened the last time the Titans / Oilers played the Bills in the playoffs?
What happened?
It's a miracle.
That's right.
Kevin Dyson Wycheck.
Kevin Dyson.
All right, Terry, appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. Have a great weekend, man. Stay safe. Have fun tomorrow.
All right, we got hour number three of The Drive headed your way next. Stay tuned. Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. Financing your home, could it be easier at Citizens National Bank?